She's put together a fascinating new brief, and it's entitled Walk Like a Penguin, Older Minnesotans' Experiences of Non-Therapeutic White Space. Don't worry, it's more interesting than the non-therapeutic white space aspects. It's a look inside how we feel about winter, particularly those elderly, and what the effects on us. And the slips and falls are certainly part of this, and the Walk Like a Penguin's a great title. Jessica Finley is the author. She's with the Center on Aging at the University of Minnesota. She joins us now live from the Twin Cities area, ground zero for the big party this weekend. Welcome to the Roadhouse. Jessica, let's take you away from that mess down there. What's going on in the big Twin Cities right now?
Oh, it's kind of nuts here. I've got, there's helicopters flying overhead. There's tons of advertisements everywhere. It's really, the city is really alive right now.
Oh, well, it's exciting. It's exciting for the state, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And it's great you can join us way up here on the North Shore now. We're a world away.
Yeah.
And just picture these icy, frozen landscaped and penguins walking about. Lots of bundled up folks up here. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great report, great review. And take us through it, Jessica, if you would. What gave you the idea to study this?
Sure. So I'm doing my PhD right now in geography and gerontology at the University of Minnesota. So gerontology is the study of aging. And essentially my term is I'm an environmental gerontologist, which is a fancy way of saying I'm interested in where people live as they age and how it affects their health and well-being. So for my PhD work, I wanted to understand kind of the neighborhoods and homes that people lived in as they aged across the metropolitan area of Minneapolis. So I set out to interview 125 older adults, but they were between the ages of 55 and 92, on average 71 years old, and really just had a conversation about where they live, what they like about their home's neighborhood, some of the challenges they face. And I didn't expect to have a strong winter component in advance. To be honest, most of my interviews were conducted without any snow or ice on the ground, but more than 80% of participants brought up their interactions with snow and ice. It was clearly a very passionate topic of conversation, and one that I just couldn't ignore as I started to write up some of these findings.
So an example of the sort of the project evolving after you had your study group and you got to a basic question of what makes you tick, and it sounds like wintertime is a big part of that, and particularly for, you know, urban setting, you mentioned 70-some average age. What are some of the challenges those folks were quick to bring up, and then, you know, how did they adapt? Well, I really want to focus in on some of the solutions, but we'll get to that. What were some of the challenges?
Yeah. They mentioned, I think, pretty common dangers or concerns about snow and ice. Falls are, of course, were the number one mentioned element of winter, being concerned about slipping and falling on the ice. And also the mobility, the restrictions that can come because of that. So not being able to drive or get out of the home as much, to walk or take the bus. So that kind of brought along with it some worries and fears about kind of moving around your neighborhood and city and suburban area as well in the winter. And that also brought with it kind of a trickle-down effect, some feelings of boredom and social isolation as people could spend long periods of time kind of cooped up in their homes, unable to get out because of the snow and ice outside.
Yes, cabin fever.
Exactly.
We all know it. We all feel it. But of course, the cure is that outdoor component, that exercise and sports and skiing and snowshoeing. And sure, you can't do that if you're 85. Maybe not. Of course, there's lots of great things to do outside. But the worry of slipping, the worry of falling, you certainly touched on that. But you had contradictory findings. I found that very interesting. Explain the idea of your contradictory conclusions when it comes to seniors' attitudes towards winter.
Right. It caught me by surprise. I was kind of expecting these common fears and worries about winter, but there were also an abundant positive comments about winter conditions as well. For example, the peacefulness of seeing that snow falling softly, or enjoying that crisp white scene outside your window, especially, of course, when viewed comfortably from inside in a warm interior. Some people did engage in winter activities, like you mentioned, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, even just walking outside. Those are some of the kind of more obvious aspects. And then what really shone through as well was this social component. I'm not from Minnesota. I'm actually from Canada. but we share a love of talking about the weather. And people really bonded over discussing weather conditions and showed to me how they kind of got to know people by shoveling sideways and driveways, you know, getting to know each other on the sidewalk as they're kind of pushing the shovels along.
Well, there's no doubt you need the help of your neighbors, and your friends and neighbors become more obvious in a snow event. And so if you could explain some of those social networks that, you know, for anyone, but especially seniors, what's important for us to be safe during the wintertime?
Yeah, I think knowing who to call if there's a big snowfall and you're not able to get out yourself, who are the people that you can rely on to help you with some of that housework if you're in your own home? Whether it's a neighbor, a child, a friend, just having a support network in place, I think, can really help be prepared for the inevitable winter conditions that we face here in this state.
So the term walk like a penguin, was that something through an interview? How'd you come up with that title?
That was a direct quote from a woman. She was very proud of her ability to get out. She had fairly low mobility. She had to use a cane or a walker at all times for balance. And she literally, in the middle of our interview, got up and demonstrated to me how she walks like a penguin in the winter. She takes small steps, keeps her stance purposely wide, and is very aware of her balance. And at that moment, she was, you could just see the joy on her face as she told me she's still able to get out, even though, you know, she's well into her 80s, has low mobility, but she still loves getting outside in the winter to enjoy the conditions.
Oh, thank you for sharing that joy, Jessica. It really came through for us, too. I've got the image. And we're talking with Jessica Finlay. She's working on her doctoral down at the Department of Geography, Environment, and Society at the University of Minnesota. She's with the Center on the Aging. Got a great new brief out in, looks like, a pretty good journal here, Jessica, right? You're in the Social Science and Medicine.
Yes, correct.
The latest February issue with a nice study, Walk Like a Penguin. Great for anyone to look in on insights to surviving winter. Talk about the sort of badge of honor that a lot of these seniors wear because of their enduring qualities.
That really shone through, being proud of the ability to survive and even thrive during winter conditions. You know, I often heard men, for example, like they would proudly tell me or even demonstrate, point out the window exactly where they were shoveling, or if they even went around the block or maybe had a snowblower that they helped out neighbors. So it was very much, as you said, a kind of a badge of honor that they were doing well or as best that they could and really proud of the ability to live well here and age.
Okay, let's try to put this in kind of a national context of, you know, snowbirds versus stick it out through the winter. Did you hear any sort of a regional rivalry of, oh, my brother-in-law, he goes down to Florida and, you know, he's a slough?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is definite pride in being a Minnesotan and doing well here compared to some of the warmer areas. I mean, many retirees are gathering in California and Florida and Arizona, for example, because of the warmer weather. But people in the study largely expressed their desire to stay, even though they might experience some challenges in winter. It was a part of who they were, and they liked the changing of seasons as well. Kind of gave a forward sense of progress to the year, knowing they could have the changes that come with each of the seasons.
And did you find any sort of relation between the cultural, like, the cultural heritage of these folks, Scandinavian, for example, being the hardy winter folks, and, you know, folks from the equatorial region that just don't get it? Is there a global view on this?
I think so. Of course, there were many who were lifelong Minnesotans and had many generations that had lived in quite, you know, northern European colder places. So they absolutely would refer back to, you know, stories of their own family members enduring quite extreme conditions. I had quite a few study members who were African-American that had moved up from southern states at some point in their youth to find work and whatnot. And so they were more newfound to kind of the winter experience, often happening in their adulthood. And for the most part, I was pleasantly surprised at how many had really come to embrace it. One woman, for example, loved winter because she felt like baking was just such a joyful experience with the snow falling outside. Other people had literally felt snow for the first time. So in many ways, they were able to adapt. There were some immigrants in my study from African nations, and they did. Some were still really struggling to handle the cold weather conditions, and it could lead to being inside quite cooped up for longer periods of time.
Sure. Sure. Well, certainly conditions come and go, too, with the seasonal snowstorms and ice, and it's never the same day twice in the wintertime, and you always got to expect that. Talk about the unpredictability of, let's say, snow removal, ice removal, keeping streets and sidewalks safe. How much of a factor is that, and what's the take-home message for those that can help in that department?
Well, that's a really great question. I think that there was a lot of anxiety expressed about the unpredictable nature of winter, not knowing when a blizzard might happen or not knowing when it would, you know, thaw and then freeze again and have quite icy conditions. I think one element I noticed that people mentioned was taking advantage of being a retiree, if many people were no longer working. And they said, I choose the days I go out. And if it's unsafe for me and I'm not able to go outside and feel comfortable walking or driving or taking the bus, that's the day that I'm going to decide to stay in and reschedule appointments. So I think just having that foresight and being proactive about your schedule as much as you can to reschedule appointments and commitments, just so you're able to stay safe and stay within your own comfort zone.
Yeah, and there's a teamwork too there. I read in your study the neat sort of couple of, you know, one was okay with driving, one with the walk. Could you explain that?
Yeah, everyone often reacted quite differently. That example you bring up is one couple, and the woman was quite afraid of being outside and walking because her mother had a fall, whereas her husband was the opposite. He didn't mind walking and was quite terrified to drive. So even in the same place, same, you know, people that lived together many years, they often had quite different reactions, kind of brought their own personalities to how they were reacting to winter conditions.
Sounds like some takeaways. Keep your sidewalks shoveled, you know, help your neighbors out. And you've studied urban populace and the built environment of the urban structures. How about rural? What's next for you in your studies?
That's definitely where I'd like to head next. I think I'm interested in looking further into kind of these therapeutic experiences of nature. And as I mentioned, my study was focused from the downtown Minneapolis to an inner and outer suburb. So I'd really like to get out into a more rural area where there are these such different expanses of nature. When I look at the urban context, it's often quite small kind of parks or yards and gardens. So getting out into more open territory when you have these wonderful expanses of wilderness and of nature, I'm really interested in looking further into that.
Well, and here's something I learned from reading your study. There's some disciplines that study blue space, study green space, but not so much white space. Take us inside of these spaces, if you would, Jessica.
Like any good researcher, when I started to think about winter, I went to the literature to look up what was being written on kind of white spaces. And I it was just a term I came up with myself. We often talk first and foremost about green space and how kind of having access to parks with trees and greenery, flowers and whatnot is really can have wonderful health effects. Blue space is beginning to get more attention, you know, whether it refers to lakes or rivers or oceans, kind of the idea of you can have kind of spiritual peacefulness by being close to water. White space is often overlooked. You know, we often, researchers are not really working in some of these more continental extreme climate conditions. So looking at how snow and ice can both promote your health as well as harm your health. So we need to think about ways to kind of minimize the harms of white space and maximize the joys we can have, we can get out of them.
Well, you're in a fabulous field, Jessica, a true niche. You found it, and you're on your way to becoming Dr. Jessica Finlay.
That's the goal.
Please report back to us when that's anytime. You've got news. We'd love to share it. We've been speaking with Jessica Finlay. She's working on her doctoral down at the Department of Geography, Environment, and Society at the University of Minnesota, and is featured in this month's Journal of Social Science and Medicine. The article is entitled Walk Like a Penguin, Older Minnesotans' Experiences of Non-Therapeutic White Space. Thank you, Jessica Finlay.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Enjoy the party this weekend.
Enjoy the peaceful snow up there.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you.